See, Jerry is here tonight. Is that your brother Jackson, Jerry? Is that his name? What's his name?
Jackson.
I got it right. I got to have help here now. As Jerry and Jackson, and we're hoping they can come to Christian school this fall and think about the Christian school, pray about it. We're off for the summer, June and July. We thank God for those that help to support students, and it's been a blessing. And we did have 75 in Sunday school today. A lot of sickness hit us. We had 61 on the buses, 42 drive-ins, 103 out this morning. So keep a record of that. After the campaign, our goal is 150 for regular services. So be praying for that and helping us with that. And just keep on letting the light shine. Amen. And God will bless. All right. How many brought their King James Bible tonight? Raise your hand. Oh, wonderful. That's what you need to bring, is your old King James Bible. And tonight I'm reading a scripture, a text from Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 11. Revelation 3 and verse number 11. And I'll read it. You listen. It says, "Behold," Jesus said, "behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown." Now these are words of the Lord Jesus spoken to the Philadelphian church. And this church was a blessed church in Philadelphia, in Asia Minor, in the Roman Empire. And it's also prophetically pointing to a kind of church that will be fully functional at the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he raptures the church to meet him in the air. The Philadelphian type church is one that's kept during the hour of tribulation that's coming, and then delivered out from within the hour of tribulation. In other words, God is going to preserve this church. He's going to protect this church, even as they aggressively go out and give the gospel right in the teeth of the beast and the Antichrist. So it's an amazing church, and it's a church that it says in Revelation 3, it's a church that depends upon the Lord's strength to do what it does, to carry out the Great Commission. And I wanted to be that kind of a church. You know, you have a little strength in yourself, but God's strength. Then you've kept my word. So it's a church that was founded on an every word Bible. It had a final authority, not scholarship or tradition, not by experience, but by the word of God. And it's a church that wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ and to get the gospel. And I kind of think that's the kind of church I hope that we are. That's the kind of church I want us to be. And tonight, I want you to notice, even with that church, as good as it is, the Lord gives a warning to that type of church. And so I believe it's a warning for us tonight, because the warning goes to the church as a whole. Then the warning goes to anybody that has spiritual ears or has the ability to discern. They're born again. And then the warning goes, you see, to every church member of that church. And it says that, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And you might say to me tonight, "Well, man of God, what's the message of the Lord Jesus to me tonight?" That would be a warning in light of his coming again. And what would be that? Well, it says there, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." That no man take thy crown. I want to preach tonight on the warning of the Lord Jesus. Don't let any person take your crown. Don't let any person take your crown. Now, the word crown in the Bible speaks about rewards. In the book of Revelation, it talks about high-ranking angels casting their crowns. And there it's talking about their positions of authorities. You know, angels are organized into authorities. Even Satan, the fallen angels, are organized into authority. But the Bible says that the crown of life that every believer will get, if you're truly born again, when Christ comes back, you're going to get a crown of life. I wonder if any of the men know what that crown of life is that every believer will get. I know Bobby knows it, and I'm going to go to Bobby. Every believer gets this crown. What is the crown of life that every believer gets at the second coming, Bobby?
Crowned with a glorified body.
That is the glorified body. And every believer gets that. The best of believers and the worst of believers, you will get a glorified body. Lot will get a glorified body at the second coming of Jesus Christ, along with Abraham. And the white robe, and it will be a wonderful time. But as I've studied the Bible, and I've studied rewards, I find out in 1 Corinthians 15, there are different glories in that body. Some glorified bodies look like a nightlight. Some look like a big spotlight. Some are like a searchlight. Some like a lighthouse light. There are different degrees of glory in that glorified body. And I believe there will be a relationship to your position of authority that God gives you to serve Him in the millennial kingdom on earth. You see, God has a plan for us. Now we're being tested, we're being tried, and we are being shown what our reward is going to be by how faithful we are. And so your crown will be your glorified body as far as a great degree of shining and authority in your glorified body when God divides up the earth and gives you the earth. And, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 19 that God was going to reward the disciples, and we'll talk about that, Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples, in the kingdom. And I really think that we need to focus more on the kingdom and the rewards that are coming in the kingdom, because that's what this scripture is talking about when it says, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, nobody can take your salvation if you're saved. Nobody can take your salvation, but somebody could take your place in a bad way if you lose your crown, or if you don't get the full reward of the crown that God wants to offer you and that you can have. And so we need to make sure that we're holding on to our crown. Now, the Bible speaks about rewards in this life and in the life to come. He said to this church, "I've given you open doors," which are opportunities to serve God. Brother Matthew McWhorter, he has an open door. He's a bus captain. He's gone through that door. He's taken advantage of that. He's proven to be a faithful man. And God's blessed him with a bus route. And others of you, you've had certain doors that you've gone through, and you've taken advantage of the opportunity to go soul winning and to be trained as a soul winner and to go out and train others and so forth. Those are open doors, and God gives us those opportunities in this life to serve God. But there is service for God beyond this life. There's service for God in the kingdom. We're not just be just floating around on clouds with harps, playing harps after Christ returns. No, He's going to give a judgment seat. And He's going to sit on that judgment seat, and He's going to say, "You lost your reward. You lost part of your reward, or you lost a great deal of it. You're not in competition with me or somebody else. You're in competition with your opportunities, with your potential, and you didn't live up to it. You squandered your time. You squandered your opportunities, and I'm going to have to take those rewards." And what a sad thing it is when you have been doing well and then you lose a reward. Because that's what it says. Don't let anybody take your crown. You've got a reward coming, but now you've squandered it. Now you're wasting it, and so God has to give it to somebody else. I've talked about my Dutch grandfather. He's born again, and my Dutch grandfather, and when he was a young man, he told me when I was called to preach and I wanted to go to college, he gave me money, and he started crying, and he said, as a young man, I was called to be a dominee. He came from the Netherlands, and that was what they called a preacher, a dominee. He said, I was called by God to be a dominee. He said, but the kids were mocking me about it, and I gave it up. He said, I didn't do it, and now you've done it. You're taking my crown. You're doing it. And but you don't want that. You don't want that. It'd be better for him to be a preacher and hand the baton to me. But he lost that. And the Lord spoke to his apostles, and he was talking to him about the rewards in the kingdom. And he said to his apostles that you've sacrificed houses for me and lands and family. He said, you're going to receive 100-fold for whatever you give up for me. He said that he would reward it in this life and in the life to come. And Peter goes, you know, Peter, he goes, okay, Lord, what's going to be our reward? You know, we've given up things for you. What are we getting? What's the reward? Now, you don't get saved by giving up things, but once you are saved, you get rewarded by giving up things. And those rewards are positions of authority in the kingdom. It's land and rulership for God in the kingdom. And God said, hey, don't take that lightly. That's important. That's something you ought to go after. And he says this, the Lord said, here's the reward, Peter. He said, verily, that means truly, I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Now, by the regeneration, he's talking about the millennial kingdom when the earth is beautiful. He said, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon what? 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And so there are rewards in this life and there are rewards in the kingdom, but you got to give things. Listen to me tonight. You've got to be willing to give things up. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have the world and eat it too. You know, the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me. He wasn't there church Sunday night. He wasn't there Wednesday night. He wasn't there when it came time to go soul winning. Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. In other words, he loved the world. Tradition says he went to a worldly church, probably in Thessalonica, that didn't go along with Paul and his separated view of things and soul winning and all that. It was that kind. And people, they want to join churches that are liberal. They want to join churches that are wishy-washy. They want to join churches that are watered down. You know why you want that? Because you love the world too much. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in your life. And so we need to have that work of God in our heart where we love the Lord, and then we won't lose the crown. Somebody else won't get the crown. Somebody else won't get the reward. And if our whole church gives up being a King James Bible church, gives up being a soul-winning church, gives up being a strong preaching, pastor-led church, gives up, you see, being a separated church with standards. If our church gives that up, God will raise up another church in Scranton to do it. I don't want anybody to take this church's crown. I don't want anybody to take your job. And if your young people won't do it, God will raise up other young people that'll do it. I want my young people to get that. Amen. I want that for this church, and I want that for these young people. And so tonight, teenager, don't let anybody take your crown. Adult, don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let any person do that. You know, I've seen guys that run the football and they get tackled. They run the football, they get tackled, and hopefully the defense wants them to punt, you know, and give the ball up. But one team, a good team, will say, hey, if they're gaining yards against you, don't only tackle them, tackle the what? Tackle the football and strip the football away, because then we get it back. You know what? Satan wants somebody to tackle you and strip your crown from you, strip your reward from you, and give it to somebody else. And Satan wants that. And you say, well, what does the Bible say about that? 2 John chapter, well, there's only one chapter, verse 8. 2 John verse 8, here's what it says. Listen to this one. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Do you know there are great churches in America led by great men of God, and they now have lost their reward? They are no longer doing what made them great. They no longer are soul winning. They're no longer King James Bible churches. They're no longer strong preaching churches. They have lost it. And what a shameful thing that is, my friend. And the Bible says, be careful that you don't lose what God has already given you, the work that you've already done. Don't waste it and lose it, you see. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your reward. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose rewards. And you can lose opportunities that God gives people to serve the Lord, because they're ready to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's what we're preaching on tonight. Don't let any person take your crown. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And I want to just say three things about that tonight. Number one, don't let any person take your crown by following good examples to help you in your keeping your crown. I remember Jose Valley, who's downstairs right now. By the way, he's down preaching. Amen. He's down teaching the young people. Jose Valley's a bus captain. Jose Valley just graduated from Christian school. He talked about pastor pushing him. You say, why'd you push Jose Valley? Because I don't want him to lose his crown. I don't want him to lose the rewards that God has. And I don't want you to lose. You say, why do you preach at us sometimes pretty hard, Pastor? Because I don't want you to lose your reward. I don't want you to lose your crown. I want you to get a full reward. That's and must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. And that's what we need tonight. We need a mentality that is, I don't want anybody to take this church's crown, and I'm going to follow good examples that will stir me up. And I told Brother Jose, I said, you know, Jose, what you need is you're not locked in. I said, you need to see people that are locked in to the local church and that are locked in to the yoke of Jesus Christ. And I showed him people. I said, you get with those people, you hang with those, and they'll help you to get locked in. And he followed that advice and got hooked in. And when you do that, you get close to people that have gone through open doors of Sunday school teaching, gone through open doors of being trainers and trainees in soul winning, gone through open doors to be a bus worker and or work in the youth group, gone through open doors to be faithful in the local church and give the tithes and offerings and do your part to support the missionaries and be here. You go through those open doors and you stay faithfully, but Satan wants to make you give up on that. He wants you to backslide away from that. He doesn't want you out thriving. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to thrive. We're supposed to prosper. And our sign says thrive, don't just survive in 2025. He doesn't want you to thrive by reading your Bible every day, praying every day, living a separated life. He doesn't want you to go soul winning and go out with those that are doing the work of God. No, he wants you to lose that reward and to back off. And I know sometimes there are sick people and shut-in people, they can't make it. I understand that. I had to tell my wife tonight, do not go to church. You don't feel good. I know you don't feel good. And if I say too much, she'll try to go. And she tried to go today, and she had to go back home because she didn't feel good. But pray for her. But I'm just saying, don't lose the opportunities that God gives you to serve the Lord. And really, the reward is more opportunity to serve God and touch more lives. And that will go on in the kingdom. The kingdom, there's going to be service for God, and you can be involved in that. But right now, you're being tested to see if you're going to get that reward or whether you're not going to get it. And I'm thinking when I was a young guy in this church, helping Pastor Ware, serving under Pastor Ware, I remember we were pretty broke. You know, we had to plant tomatoes and pick our tomatoes to make it. I remember my wife was pregnant one time and she threw up tomatoes. We were eating so many tomatoes and she never forgot that. She didn't eat tomatoes for a long time after that. Now she likes them again. But I remember those days, and I remember a guy gave me an offer for a job. He said, I will give you, I was about 25 years old. He said, I'll give you a job. He said, you're going to make a lot of money. A lot of money. He told me the amount of money. It staggered me a little bit. And he said, but the problem is it's out of town. It's just a little out of town. And I knew I couldn't make it to all the services. And I said, no, that's not going to fit for me. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to defer that gratification to have a lot of money. And I'm going to put God first. And I did that. And I'm glad that I didn't fail the test of Esau. You know, Esau, he was given a choice. Do you want instant gratification? Do you want a meal there? Or do you want your birthright, which means you'll be the pastor in the family, which means that you'll be the one that will be the promised Messiah and get the blessings of God? You have that opportunity. You'll have the birthright. And Esau said, I don't care about all that. I just want my meal right now. And if you're not careful, you're going to grab what looks good to you, like Lot did. He looked at Sodom and it looked good to him. It was well watered. By the way, you go to Sodom today, like I've gone to it, it's under the Dead Sea. And it's just desert. I mean, that place is done in. God cooked it. And, you know, you could choose the good things of this world, but it's not going to last. And so make the right choices. I know Jesse, I've talked to him. He wants to get back to where he was in high school and the kind of soul winning that he was doing back in the day. Don't let anyone, don't let anything take your reward away. And I took that job and I turned it down. And I'm saying that our Lord spoke about future rewards. And he said that when future rewards come, many that are first now will be last in the life to come. Many that are first, now remember he said the first shall be what? Last. He said in Matthew, he said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What does that mean? Many Christians will get ahead in this life. They'll make a lot of money in this life. They'll have a lot of success in this life. But they'll lose rewards. Don't let that happen to you. Make sure you're making the best choices in light of God's choices. I think of Jack Hiles. He had millions of dollars that came into him through his books and through his ministry. Millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars. But did he die with millions of dollars? No. He died with very little. It all went through him. It didn't stick to him. Russell Anderson helped to found and contribute to Hiles Anderson College. Russell Anderson helped to found Commonwealth Baptist College in Kentucky, where the Zukowskis are heading right now. That was fine. And he, toward the end of his life, Russell Anderson is now in heaven. Toward the end of his life, Brother Steve, he was giving away $25,000 a day. You know why he did that? Because he didn't want to die with too many toys. You know, people in this world, they have the philosophy, we're going to compete to see who can die with the most toys. That will make you lose your reward. You can't outgive God. You give to God, he'll give back to you. And he, like Brother Morgan said from the Bible, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give it to you. Brother Bobby, you demonstrated that. It'll happen, but that's not so you could keep it and hoard it. No, it's so you can give it. And so don't let anybody take your crown. Don't say, well, I've done this long enough. No, I've done this a long time, but I want to do more of it. I was telling God, I want revival. I want to see greater things. You say, but Pastor, that's a lot more work. That's all right. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to have the opportunity to do it. I want that abundant entrance, 2 Peter 1, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be an Esau tonight and grab it now. Don't grab all the gusto you can get now. Defer gratification. Get those rewards. And so remember that the Lord warned us about getting our rewards up front and then losing those lasting blessings. And here's what Jesus said. He said, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. What's the unrighteous mammon? It's today's money. The money of today. If you've not been faithful with the money that you have, he said, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Think about that. If you've not been faithful with the money you have right now, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. You see, you're either going to love one and hate the other, hate the one and love the other. You're either going to serve money or God, is what he's saying there. Now, why did he say the true riches? What are the true riches? Why did he say that? Well, the money that you have now is not true riches. It's temporary. God will take it back from you. Did somebody think they're going to get a U-Haul to go with them to the graveyard? No, it's not happening, folks. My dad, he was asking me for his wallet. He kept wanting to get his wallet. I understand that. I always want to know, where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? But my dad was ready to pass away, and he was asking me. And I said, Dad, it's right here. I'm right here with you. It's right here. But you can't take it with you. You're going to give that to your kids and so forth and so on. And they're going to give it to their kids. And that's not the true riches. It's temporary. And we're not owners of what we have now. God gives it to us for a time, but he's the owner. We're just managing it for God. The cars you have, the house you have, it's just managed for God. And you're not going to stay there that long. It's going to happen. It's going to be by very quickly before you can realize it. That's why Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. To gain what? What he cannot lose. And the riches that you have now, they can be stolen, can't they? How many have ever lost money or lost something? Yeah. They can be stolen. They can be taken away. I paid my wife's hospital bills. I had some money to pay for the back surgery. I think that back surgery probably went well over $3,000, maybe $300,000. By the time all that stuff, I had to pay only $2,000 to one hospital and $1,000 to the other. And I paid it immediately. As soon as I got the bill, boom. Now I get from the one hospital, the bills say you owe $1,000 and they don't show I paid it. I went to my bank account and I found it was paid. I don't like that. But it's not my money. It's God's money. So the Lord will take care of it. But I will check up on him. And I'm just saying that we're managing it for God, and the true riches are coming. When are they coming? They're coming in the kingdom. By the way, you can have a lot of money. How many have heard of John D. Rockefeller? He had a lot of money. He was at one time the richest man in the world, John D. Rockefeller. Do you know he could only eat about $1.25 a day worth of food because he got so sick toward the end of his life as he got older? You can't enjoy your riches because your body is going to get so old that you can't enjoy it like you used to. But you see, the true riches are after you die, after your body is raised, then you'll enjoy those riches in the kingdom. And he'll give it to you based on your faithfulness with what you did with the temporary stuff that he loaned you. That's the true riches. The last will be first. The smart people are the ones that give it away for God. You can't take it with you. And so, reorient your whole mind and heart. Don't let anybody take your crown because they're investing in the kingdom while you're doing all you're investing in this life. And I'm not saying investing is wrong, but I'm saying you need to invest in the kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't let somebody that's wiser than you take your crown. Revelation 3:11, by following good examples. You follow those good examples. And then number two, avoid bad examples. Don't let anybody take your crown by avoiding the bad examples. We talked about Lot. We talked about Demas. Those are bad examples. You may have known people in this church that are bad examples, and they have pulled people away, and they've gotten away from the main thing and clicking around the man of God. You know, if Brother Joe, if we had everybody that had the opportunity that came to this church and they all got in their place and did their part and clicked around the man of God, how many people would we have in this church? Couldn't hold them in this building. You'd have to have more than one service. Amen. But not everybody does that. Well, you say, what are you talking about? That must be because of you, preacher. No, Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. He said, only Luke is with me. And even Luke is gone right now. I don't know. But he said, only Luke is with me. In other words, he knew when he died, it was pretty lonely. Right? It was pretty lonely. Don't follow those examples. Follow the examples of people like John Mark, who got right and stuck with Paul and was profitable for ministry. Don't lose your soul winning. Stay with your soul winning. Don't lose it. You know, as I get older, I get smarter, so I can do more, amen, if I take advantage of the opportunity. I went with Jack Hiles on two trips. One trip, I went with him to Bahamas, and we went to the straw market. He gave us like 200 and some bucks each. That was back in the day, you know, in the 90s. And he said, buy your wife some goodies, you know. And we did that. We had fun in the Bahamas at the Paradise Island. We were in Paradise Island. And he was there. And I remember getting off a boat. He rented a yacht for us. And we got in the boat. All the preachers were having fun jumping off the boat. And we were doing cutting up and doing fun stuff. He had a bunch of big cooler with soft drinks in it, you know. But anyway, we got off the boat. And guess what he was doing? He was witnessing to a bunch of Bahamian police officers. He was giving the gospel to a bunch of Bahamian police officers. And when we were in the rooms, we each had our individual room over the bay in Paradise Island. We were in a big hotel designed by Merv Griffin, or I think it was Merv Griffin. It was a beautiful place. Had these big aquariums and had TVs in the room. And he said, I bet you guys were watching TV and wasting your time just watching. He said, I was in my room outlining sermons. And it was a rebuke. It was a rebuke, you know, because he would use those times. And I'm saying he's a good example to me. Charlie Ware, as a young man, was a good example to me. He just was serious about the Lord. And nothing wrong with taking a break, taking a vacation. I know you guys are going to Carolina, and folks will be going on. But listen, it's so that we can have recreation. We can get back to investing our life in what really counts. And we need to be doing that. And so Paul and Timotheus, the Bible says, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. What are the bishops? They're overseeing the spiritual program. Why? I had a guy tell me one time, there's just enough pressure in this church so that we'll produce and win people to Christ. But there's not so much pressure that will be blown away and not produce. And you need to be in that kind of a situation so that you'll be productive. And a bishop is an overseer, a person that's overseeing the word of God to make sure that we're productive, to make sure that we don't lose our reward. And I don't want anybody to take your reward. And I believe that the local church can help you to be accountable and to help you. And people that are not here in the local church, they're on their way to losing rewards. Why? Because they're not getting right with God. You say, well, it's nice to just miss and miss and miss. Yeah, but you're going to lose your rewards. That's not nice. Use it or what? Lose it. And I don't want to lose it. Amen. By the way, I'm addicted to the ministry. You know who got me addicted? Charlie Ware. Got me addicted to the ministry. And I'm addicted. Now I'm addicted to preaching and teaching. I'm addicted to soul winning. Amen. That's a good addiction. And you don't want to lose your crown. And so don't follow the bad examples. Follow the good examples. And number two, avoid the bad examples that are going to lead you away. By the way, Eli's here tonight. Teenagers this summer. I know Eli told me he wants to go to camp. Camille wants to go to camp this summer. Listen, you are so wise, parent, to make sure your teenager gets to camp in the summer. Because you're going to lose your crown if you don't. And some other teenager will take it. And you'll be pulled to the world. And you'll get your rewards now. But it's all going to be over so fast. And so make sure that you get to camp and that you get under the Word of God. And be here Sunday morning in the summertime. Be here Sunday evening. Be here Wednesday night. Get out to camp. Three to thrive. And by the way, we don't have a teenage youth meeting here. We have a youth program. A youth program. We have a whole plan for our young people so that they will be addicted to the ministry. And they'll have rewards that are out of this world. And if you really love your young people, that's what you want. Sometimes parents, a young person will say, I've been called to God to be a missionary in Africa or something. And they'll say, oh, don't waste your life there. Don't waste your life there. Well, see, they don't understand. They don't understand. I'm saying to you tonight, don't let somebody take your real reward. Don't let somebody take your crown. Hang around the good examples and get addicted to the good things. Avoid the bad crowd that will pull you away. The bad crowd that doesn't see that. And you know what? You shouldn't be a follower. You have eyes to see. Should the seeing be led by the blind? You see things, but you get around the blind and they'll lead you astray. Get around the right kind of examples and avoid the bad examples. Don't let any person take your crown. Lastly, by remaining yourself a good example. You see, God wants you to be a good example. Pastor Ware's not here anymore. Jack Hiles is not here anymore. But I'm here. You're here. And God wants us to stay clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission so that other people can get around you. Like I told Brother Jose, get around these people and you'll get addicted to serving the Lord. God wants you to be that kind of person. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll guarantee you'll be a fisher of men. How about you? If people hang around you, will they be stirred up to be productive soul winners? Will they be stirred up to live separated Christian lives and to give to God and give to God's work? I want to have that kind of life. Now, the Bible talks about one good example and one bad example. The Apostle John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them which would, and casteth them out of the church. In other words, he didn't have special missionary speakers come in. He just wanted to have his little life and have it his way. And he really wasn't serving the Lord. Diotrephes. He was an evil man that was serving himself. And here's what John said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. And then he that doeth evil hath not seen God." You know, get away from people that harm you spiritually, that are toxic relationships to you. Get away from them. Get away from those kind of relationships. And boy, I'd rather not be married to somebody like that, because once you get married, you're stuck. You know, it's better to wait long than to marry wrong. It's better to wait long than to marry wrong. You know, I would encourage people, not only marry somebody that's a professing believer, but somebody that's definitely in the yoke of Jesus Christ. Really in the yoke, and you know them, and you know they know the Lord. Listen, that is so important. And so Diotrephes was a bad example. Then he said, Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. You know what? That's in 3 John 9 through 12. It's great to be able to point to people that are good examples. And I try to do that. And you should be that way. And you know what? I'm thinking of our senior deacon, Joe Slobodnik. Is Joe here tonight? He's skipping church? Where's Joe? Oh, no, he's right there. Yeah, I know right where he is. Our senior deacon, Joe Slobodnik. You know what? I believe he has some great rewards. You know, he has clicked around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission all of these decades. Not just years, but decades. And here's what the Bible says about a deacon like that. He says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know what? Joe is laying up treasures in heaven. And you can follow that example. And you can lay up treasures and purchase it to yourself. Because we can't stay here forever. We can't stay here forever. We got these mortal bodies. They're going to give out. My Graham, who led me to the Lord, her body finally gave out. She said, "One day everything's going to come to a screeching halt. And then you leave that body." Amen? And I'm just saying to you that you should be already laying up treasures ahead of time, investing in the kingdom ahead of time. And don't stop by yourself being a good example, and being a good example like Brother Joe for younger deacons to look at and younger men to look at, and have that influence that God wants you to have. I'm just saying tonight, let's not let any person take my crown, your crown. Let's keep on doing what God wants us to do and being what God wants us to be by following the good examples that we've talked about, by avoiding those bad examples that will pull you away. There are people that become idols in your life. Do you know that? You know, Israel, one of their great sins was idolatry. And that led to slavery to their sins. And then that led to God having to save them out of it. But they wasted time in the midst of that. Listen, don't get into idolatry. The Bible says in 1 John 5, keep yourself from what? Idols. There are those things that they want you to love them more than God. And they'll cool your heart for God. You can't serve an idol and God at the same time. You cannot do it. And when God tells you to turn loose that idol, turn it loose. when God says to break that idol, break that idol. Why? Because I don't want you to lose your crown. I don't want somebody else to take it. Because you're clinging to some idol that you really can't keep anyway. And it's just a mirage. It's just a false god. So follow the good examples, avoid the bad examples, and you yourself remain as an example to others so that God can keep you around for a while to serve God. I thank God for older saints that are serving God. I was joking with Steve Manning, and he was coming up those stairs, and I said, "You better come fast because the raindrops are coming." And he doesn't like to drive to church in the rain, but thank God he's here, and he's had a good influence. And he came to Men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting on Saturday. It's a blessing to pray with Brother Steve Manning. And I'm just saying, don't let anybody take your crown. God may let you live a while so that you can share it with others. That's in his hands. I just know this, live while you can for God. Amen. And he'll bless you. All right, let's bow for prayer. We're going to have the Lord's table. But I wonder.